This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Ahoy, and welcome aboard Caleb's Canoe. We will be sojourning through the dangerous white water rapids of prophecy today. So put on your life vest of righteousness and hold tight to your steering paddle as we race through the water of the Word of God. Well, last week we talked about Black Lives Matter, and the reason I had brought that up is because, as I mentioned, I was heavily involved in high school and in college with the civil rights movement in the 60s. And one of the things that I really relished about that, my participation in that, was the fact that, wow, I got to see godly men and women, and we were marching for a purpose, and it was peaceful. Well, now I've been watching what was going on with Black Lives Matter, and I was a little bit puzzled by it, because when I marched and protested against what was going on in the 60s, I saw definitely they had a rallying cry, and that was George Floyd, when he was brutally murdered by a policeman, and all that was on the news. And certainly Black Lives Do Matter, and what erupted for a while was peaceful. But then it actually moved into a more violent part. We saw buildings being burned down. We saw people dying. We saw rock throwing and all the rest. Well, I decided, well, is this something I should be involved with, the Black Lives Matter movement? Because I certainly was involved with the protests that were going on in the 60s. But then I went on their website, and one of the things I found out was on their website were several things that I could not agree with. One of them was the fact that they wanted to disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family. They believed that the nuclear family was causing racism and capitalism. And I'm reading from their website, we foster a queer affirming network. When we gather, we do so with the intention of freeing ourselves from the tight grip of heteronormative thinking. Wow, I was listening to that, and I said, wow, this doesn't match up with what I knew from Scripture and doesn't match up with what I was involved with before. In fact, actually, what ended up happening afterwards is they actually removed that language. After the language was exposed on their website, Black Lives Matter quietly scrubbed the anti-American Marxist language from its website and changed the messaging and scrubbed out the idea of disrupting of the nuclear family. But it was brought out, and especially since they then later scrubbed it out, I became more and more suspicious. And one of the things I noted, which I think is sort of like a classic, what we call an oxymoron, and I'm looking at many, many pictures of abortion clinics. And in the abortion clinic, you see Black Lives Matter signs. Well, one of the things I thought about is this is an oxymoron. Black lives do matter, but black people, women, actually have, since Roe versus Wade, committed 19 million abortions. Well, if black lives matter, they should be concerned about this. They should understand why it's happening and why it's being basically promoted by extreme leftist liberals. So this brought me into that concept, and I began to look deeply into it. And of course, first I had to decide, well, why in the world are they are accusing the family as the main cause of racism? Well, obviously it's not. In fact, if you look at Scripture and you start looking at the various Scriptures, God created human beings in His own image. In the image of God, He created them, male and female. And that's another important thing, male and female. And for this cause, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. So we see the family is an integral part of the Christian community. It also was an integral part of the Christians that I actually marched with back in the 60s. So we can look at Mark 10, 6 to 9. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. So they are no longer two, but they're one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. So God created man in his own image. He created a family. Okay, you can look at some of the people like Ronald Reagan. He talked about the family was one of the most important pieces of the American culture. Even Princess Diana mentioned family is the most important thing in the entire world. And you have different people such as those that support the every child deserves a mom and a dad. This is an important piece. And this is why I got upset and would not support them. And then on further investigation, I ran into somebody like Patrice Collier, who was the one of the founders of it. And she was giving money to her, or the father of her youngest child, over $1 million. And that was five times more than she ever donated to the Trayvon Martin Foundation. Also, she began spending millions of dollars to buy homes and so forth for herself. And this was exposed, and she ended up having to resign. And a lot of the black leaders now are coming to a realization of something. Candace Owens, and she's been in the news recently, she says she wants to free black voters from the decades-long grip of the Democratic Party, which is supporting such things as the destruction of the nuclear family and, of course, the abortion of young babies, 19 million. In fact, if you think about it, 19 million babies out of the 60 million or so that have been aborted, that's a third. And the black population is only about 12%. So we see it's almost triple the rate. Why is that? Well, most of the abortion clinics are in poor neighborhoods, mostly black, and they're promoting the destruction of not only the nuclear family, but also of black babies. So anyway, she's called for something called Black Exit, which is a renaissance, and she wants people to be more aware of what the Democratic Party stands for and how they're not really interested in the advancement of the black community. They're more interested in controlling the reproduction rate and really performing a sort of what we would call eugenicide. Okay, now, I've got a couple of quotes from some of the men that are becoming realizing what's going on. One of them is Herschel Walker, who's running for Senate in Georgia. And these are some things that he has said recently. He said, "I don't want to tear down statues. I want my freedom of speech. I want to be united as Americans. Congress and senators, can you hear me? God is everywhere, even in the news. That's why my view of every news should be looked through the lens of faith." He called for more money to promote adoption and to support single fathers and single mothers. This is an important issue. Why don't we do that? Why are we not, if someone desires, first of all, they had to do several things even to get in a position where they need an abortion. First of all, we all know that birth control is readily available everywhere. And we also know that even up until the 12th week and even all longer up to the 15th week, abortion can be formed pretty much safely. Why in the world has this happened? And I have a personal example of this. There was a girl that worked for me, and she wanted to adopt a baby. And it was nearly impossible to adopt a black baby in America. First of all, the expense was about $50,000. Well, she would not relent on that. She wanted to adopt a black baby, and she ended up adopting one from Haiti because she couldn't do it here in America. So what Herschel Walker is talking about is we need to actually commit more funds to having the ability for people to take another alternative, and that's adoption. And adoption is a critical way that we can avoid the faults that we see in the problem we're having with abortion today. So one of the things I want to bring out, which is another thing that happened to me, there's something that we see that's going on in the Democratic Party today, and they're using, for example, foundations and donations from Black Lives Matter, from Planned Parenthood. They're getting a lot of money from them to support their candidates. I mentioned last week that $50 million during the 2020 campaigns were given by Planned Parenthood. And you have to wonder, why do they need all the money from all Americans when they have plenty enough that they're making? In fact, the abortion is actually a moneymaker for them. Everyone that they have and foster is money in the bank for them. And there was something that I ran into, and it's the Hatch Act. The Hatch Act was passed in 1939 because Democrats were using the power of the people that work for the federal government and the state government and the county government. They were using it to promote their particular point of view, funneling money into their particular pockets, the Democratic Party. And so they decided to pass an act. Hey, you can't do that. You can't have federal employees, and you can't have county employees and state employees doing such things. So the Hatch Act came forth, and they set up a system called the Office of Special Counsel, and that was supposed to accomplish the fact to limit this. But the Black Lives Matter group, for some reason, was able to get a ruling, and it went on to say that the Black Lives Matter group could wear pins, could have supportive messages on their social media accounts, and they could let workers or members of the public know of their support. Now, the reason this strikes me in my own personal experiences is my wife worked for Social Security Administration, and she was in one of the field offices, and she then put a little, it was basically a carved cutout in wood. And what it was, if you looked at it and you looked at the light colors, all you saw was these little lines and lines going one direction, some to the left, some to the right, and blocks. But if you looked at the space between them, you saw the name Jesus. Well, when her boss saw this, she brought up the Hatch Act and said, if you don't get that off your desk, you're going to be fired. So for some reason, the government allows certain groups to promote their particular activities. And one of the other things that happened to me, which also was kind of dramatic, was the fact of I, as a public school teacher, every year was given a card, and it told me to basically commit my funds, and they would take it directly out of my payroll from the United Way. Well, I looked at what the United Way stood for, and when I found out they supported Planned Parenthood, I did not fill out the form. Well, several days later, my principal came to me, and he said, listen, I want 100% participation for the United Way, like many of the other principals have, and I want you to donate. And I said, well, I won't. And he said, why? And I said, because the United Way supports Planned Parenthood, i.e. they support abortion, and I do not. Well, he said, well, why don't you just basically commit the minimum amount? I said, no, I won't. Well, he was furious with me. And basically, I received a lot of persecution. And it wasn't just that, because I had also that same year started a Bible study, which he really did not want me to start in the school, but it was after school and so forth. But I ended up getting it going. So he started to persecute me. And the funny part about it is all this persecution he gave to me, he started upping my class sizes. In fact, my first period class, which normally would be about 30 students, he put up 50 students. I didn't even have the first day of class enough chairs or desks to even support that number. And he did all these other little things. But it turned out that my when I saw the persecution I was going through, I ended up my higher supervisor than the principal, the director of science, which I was involved with, he got me a job, and he actually put me ahead of all the principals in the county, because he basically gave me my own school and my own budget and my own programs. So you can see that even when people are persecuting you, if you stick to your commitments to God, that you'll be rewarded in the end. So one of the things we see is Democrats are using all kinds of things, such as one of the worst is this Act Blue Charities, which is a Democratic Political Action Committee. And basically what they do is they gather money in, and they give it mostly to white Democrat candidates. And you can see the money that they used was used for almost all Democrats, Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, even Martin O'Malley in Maryland, and nothing to Republicans. So we can see there's a big policy going on to basically promote these charities to basically be just another device to gather money into the Democratic Liberal Party. Okay, so one of the things that I got into looking at was this, what was called the BDS movement. And the BDS movement stands for Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions, a movement against Israel. Now, I don't know really if you realize it, but if you look at Scripture and you're a believer and you read something like Genesis 12, 2 and 3, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So we see God is giving us blessings, and if we start to curse Israel. And why it's that BDS movement is so important, because it starts out with Act Blue. Act Blue then gives money to BDS, and then the BDS gives money to the PNIF. That's the Palestine National and Islamic Forces. That basically is a terrorist organization. So we have money being collected by the Democratic online fundraising platform called Act Blue, eventually ending up in the hands of terrorists. So we see that, you know, and the more and more, remember, this the topic that we're on is prophecy today. So we can see prophecy. We're seeing that one of the things that we just talked about, abortion, we've talked about the destruction of the nuclear family. These are all signs of the end times, and they're happening today. They're in the news. And then when another thing that happened recently, there was a man who killed one on a rampage in Buffalo, New York. He killed 11 people, and many were black. And that rose up. The reason he did this, he was responding to what he was a white supremacist, okay? And he was responding to what he saw as the great replacement, meaning that we saw over the last maybe 75 years, we see that the population of the white America has gone from about 90% down to about 66%. So he was seeing that. But that was not a result of any great plan. The reason that happened was very simple. Many white people stopped having children because why? The poor whites were having abortions, and it was all tied up with that. So, you know, one of the things that I hate about this is constantly we're bringing race into the issue. And, you know, when I look at the Constitution, the preamble, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and they were endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these were the life of the law of among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So one of the things that I hate to see is that we're constantly bringing up and trying to foster hatred from one group to another, from one race to another, from one party to another. This is not the way it's meant to be. One of the things that I was involved with back when I lived in Baltimore, I had belonged to a group that supported the opera, and I had season tickets to the opera. And one of the operas I saw was kind of a really interesting one. It was Gilbert and Sullivan. And in it, there were these three little maids that sing a song. And the thing that they said that kept repeating is this: if everybody is somebody, then no one's anybody. Get that again. If anybody is somebody, then no one's anybody. So we shouldn't be bringing all these differences up and starting problems that don't really need to be even exist. And this putting one group against another is just basically a divergent, keeping people's minds off of what really are much more difficult understandings of issues that are going on today. And I'll give you another example from Dr. Seuss. He had one of his shows was the Star-Bellied Sneetches. Okay, and what happened was there were a group of Sneetches, they're birds, and they had stars on their chests, but others did not. And so the Star-Bellies thought that they were better than all the rest. They had they played all the games together, and the poor non-Star-Bellied Sneetches were avoided and shunned. Now, what happens is a man comes to town, and his name is Mr. Fix-It. And Mr. Fix-It, what he does is he has a machine, and those without the stars were able to get a star for $5. So they paid the $5, they got a star. Next thing you know, no one can tell Star-Bellied Sneetches from the plain-bellied Sneetches because everybody had stars. Well, the original Star-Bellies are upset now because they're not special anymore. So what do? They go to Mr. Fix-It, and he removes their stars. Now, this goes on, and the stars are being put on, and the stars are being taken off. And then meanwhile, the guy, Mr. Fix-It, okay, he's walking away with all their money and leaves them in total confusion. Well, this is what happens when we're involved in society today, when they're diffusing and trying to create problems between races, but problems between parties, problems between Democrats and Republicans, between liberals and conservatives. These things are not warranted, and they're causing us to have a great division in America today. Now, one of the things that just recently came up in the news, another thing that fits right into prophecy and news today, was Janet Yellen. Janet Yellen is the Treasury Secretary, and she said that abortion, if we stop abortion, we're going to have a big problem with our economy. Well, Tim Scott, who was the Republican senator from South Carolina, he actually tested her on this, and he said, hey, listen, I'm a guy who was raised by a black woman in abject poverty. I am thankful to be here as a United States senator. I thank people who agree on this issue of being pro-life or pro-abortion, but in the end, I think framing in the context of the labor force participation is exactly callous. And that's what Scott said. Yes, it was callous. It's trying to link the fact that we can have a strong economy by having a lot of abortions. And Tim Scott caught Janet Yellen on this particular issue. So now, why in the world is there so much confusion, and why do we have all these problems with such things as Black Lives Matter and abortion and so forth. Well, one of the things is I grew up and I was born in 1947. And there, when you watch the news, it was always reported fair and equal. And why? The reason was because the FCC had created what was called the Fairness Doctrine. From 1947 until 1987, the FCC said that if you're going to report on something, it has to be fair and equal. Okay? That was the law all the way up until 1987. And then they repealed it. And they said you no longer have to be fair and equal in terms of reporting. Well, look what this has caused. This has caused, basically, for the most part, most of the CBS, NBC, ABC, CNN, MSNBC, these all have now become political, basically political hacks for a particular party, which in this case was Democrat liberals. And they have now, you don't hear fair and equal reporting anymore because they don't have to do that, okay? And then recently, President Biden, he looked at what was going on and with all this information, and he was upset that there was some information he didn't agree with. So he started what was called the Homeland Security Department, which would now be in control of making sure news was fair and accurate. Well, one of the things he appointed, instead of just going back to the doctrine that we had in 1947, which said that if you're going to report on something, report on it from both sides. In other words, if you're talking about abortion, have some people who are supportive of it, some people who are against it. Let them tell of their viewpoints and what they believe and why they believe it, and let people decide. No, that's not what's going on right now. And the person, by the way, that they appointed to this new position in Homeland Security Department to monitor the news and allow what they want out and what they don't want out was Nina Zinkowicz, and she was the one who kept from the public all the information that was coming out about Hunter Biden and how he and his affiliation through his laptop that they were able to capture and get. He was basically using funds and giving them to his father from illegal activities in the Ukraine. And also this information, because of the media being not having to report fair and accurate, purported that, plus they reported about President Trump at the time being linked to Russian banks and so forth, which he wasn't. So it's difficult right now to even get the truth anywhere, okay, because we hardly have any free speech. For example, the Espionage Act of 1917 and Sedition Act of 1918 and the non-disclosure agreements, almost all federal employees, in fact, just about everyone, has to sign at least a non-disclosure agreement, which means you can't tell anyone what's really going on in federal government or any government for that matter, because you sign a non-disclosure agreement. So look what happened when Snowden did what he did. Okay, he's now ostracized and living in Russia because of what he exposed, when he just simply exposed to the people that the NSA was actually monitoring the public. And through monitoring them, if you record every single thing, which they do, actually, there's a big machine called the Beast, and that actually, every single phone call, everything you write, you put on the internet, anything you do, basically, is now transmitted to a block of information that's housed, and of course, they can then sort it out and find out if you have perhaps be a threat to the country. You know, well, you should not bear false witness against our neighbor. That's one of the big issues. So, one of the things that I want to get off this topic, because it's one that you can go on for a long period of time because I've had a lot of experience with it. But one of the things we were talking about, and I want to get back to the issue of life and abortion. Okay, if you remember, I gave you a little outline a number of weeks ago, and I basically was telling you about how life begins. And, you know, you have a sperm that's deposited into a female, and that has to wiggle through a place called the cervix, which is very thick and tough to get through. Of the 50 billion sperm that entered the vagina, only a very few of them can even swim, and those that can swim have to get through the cervix. Well, fortunately, it's been thinned out by the woman once she ovulates, but then it swims into the uterus. It's got this big, wide-open area. It's swimming around, trying to find its way to the fallopian tube. There's two of them, so it's got to choose the right one. The egg then enters out and into the fallopian tube. It sends out chemicals that attract the sperm. And finally, there's a consummation where the sperm unites with the egg. Do you know when that happens, there is a great light that's given off. They just recently, they knew about this in animals, but this light was given off when the sperm actually united with the egg. It's almost like you think back, and in the beginning, God created heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And of course, Jesus is called the light of the world. In fact, one of the neat slides I've shown the people at Good Samaritan, where I minister to, was a single photon, which they used electron microscopy and all kinds of additives that they got, and they got the picture of a single photon. A single photon is in the shape of a cross. Okay, kind of interesting. In the beginning, you have light being created. You have a beginning of our life, beginning with the uniting of a sperm and an egg producing light, and a light is in the form of a cross. Okay, so we're on this topic, and while the major topic we have been on, which is the Revelation, where it talks about war, famine, pestilence, and death. And we're going to talk about death now. We've talked a little bit about that, but we know that death is an important concept. And in the news related to exactly this topic is what happened on May the 2nd, 2022, in when Politico released a draft of what the current Supreme Court was going to decide concerning a new case, which is the Mississippi rule. And Mississippi, actually, this whole concept has been completely thrown out of context of what it really is about. First of all, they're not getting rid of Roe versus Wade. That's a lie. It has nothing to do with Roe versus Wade. It has to do with what happened in 1993 when Planned Parenthood versus Casey ended up modifying the, in 1992 the decision that was made by the Supreme Court in Roe versus Wade in 1973. And what it's basically said was simple. They wanted to change the term of the trimester, which was 12 weeks. And what they did was they successfully changed it. And they changed it to a term called fetal viability. Okay, that was not defined. What is fetal viability? Most doctors today believe that a young fetus can survive on its own outside the human body with help. At about 24 weeks, which is about 6 months. Okay. Now, this caused a big problem because then what began to happen was places like New York City and New Mexico and Colorado, they started redefining what the fetal viability was, and they started performing abortions at 8 and 9 months. The reason why Mississippi came out with their viewpoint was to bring back Roe versus Wade, in fact, even elaborate it from 12 weeks to 15 weeks and not leave it up in the air where you could basically destroy a child at basically up until birth. In fact, even some states allow it even up to 28 days afterwards. Virginia and Maryland both tried to get that through. So we want to take a look at this. We want to get into it in more detail about why this this concept of the Supreme Court decision has caused such division in our country today. As you canoe through the river of life, may all your rapids be little ones. If you capsize, God can right you again. If you're drowning, God can throw you a line and a life raft. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. If you have questions or concerns or like to know more, you can contact me, LUVH2O, the O is a letter, 62, at Comcast.net.